Hey, how's it going? I'm Andy Jones, and this is episode 149 of the Photography Side Hustle podcast. So this week, Rob from Montreal asked me how he should get started and what would I do if I were just starting out. So I had a good think about this, which I'm constantly doing, actually. It's a bit weird. So the first thing I would do is work on my photography. That is, I will work on improving my photography until I'm confident I can produce quality photos. Now, I don't mean I have to lock myself away and not come out until my photos are perfect. I mean that I'd be constantly improving my work. When I started, I was shooting my daughter's figure skating, and it took me a few months to figure out what worked the best. Luckily, I had an online mentor who helped me. His name was Mark Newcomb, and he is, or I'm not sure if he's retired yet, he's a sports photographer in Australia, in New South Wales. And he was doing what I wanted to do. He was making money from kids' sports. He went so far, he had a van with a printer and a monitor and a computer in it, so people could order at the event, at the side of the pitch. If it was soccer, whatever it was, he could do it on the spot, which was ingenious. This is going back 2005, 2006. He really helped me a lot. And it was Mark who introduced me to products like posters and magazines. Like, I'd seen them before, but he gave me some ideas of what you could do. And then once it clicked, I was off to the races. It was so easy. So this podcast is me paying it back. I'm trying to mentor or help as many new photographers as I can. Now, I'm not suggesting you need to have a mentor. I'm just trying to get the point across that you need to educate yourself in any way you can, whether it's a website, a book, a mentor, or a course, or even a membership of some kind. You need to move forward with it. Now, you've got to remember there's a market for all levels of photography. So you don't have to wait until you're super skilled to start charging. Start off small and charge a little. And as your quality improves, scale up and charge a lot more. Like I've said in past episodes, your work needs to be above average to stand out from the competition. And I wouldn't stop there. I would keep trying to perfect my technique until I was at the limit of my talent, which I don't think it'd take very long. If you shoot everything and anything, you will find that improving all of your different genres that you shoot in is next to impossible. That is why I would niche down. Concentrating on one genre would give me a better chance of improving my skills and building a reputation. This is where I failed in the past. I tried to shoot everything I could, and I was above average at some things, and others I was just okay. Now, if I were starting out today, I would just specialize in portraits, nothing else. I have said in the past that it's a toss-up between headshots and pet portraits, but I'm now leaning towards human being portraits, nice creative portraits where I can really put some effort into it. If I ever get an 85mm 1.2, I might just go for it. So if I was just starting out, I would spend money and attend workshops and courses with the best portrait photographers that are out there. Yes, they're very expensive, but I would go from A to Z or A to Z in one big step. Not experimenting for the next 2 years until I figure it out. If I learn from one of the best, it would allow me to offer my work at a higher price sooner than if I was trying to do it myself. I might be able to work it out in a year or even just a few months, but how much money am I going to miss out on? If all I was shooting was portraits, I would only be selling prints. That's where portrait photographers make their money, selling prints. The only time a customer would get a digital file is if they had bought the print of it. By niching down, I would be aiming to be one of the best portrait photographers in my area. I want to be fully booked because of my quality, not because of my discounted prices. One of the major reasons a photographer can produce quality images is editing. Editing is the differentiator between the best and the rest. Producing beautiful edited images is the key to building a reputation. When I started out, editing a portrait in Photoshop could take hours. Nowadays, you can do a better job in under 10 minutes. So today, I would put as much emphasis on editing as I would on shooting. There isn't a professional photographer out there that doesn't edit the photos. If I were to start out again, I would get up to speed on Lightroom and Photoshop as quickly as possible. Okay, the next thing is keep your costs down. To do this, I would definitely buy used equipment, a semi-pro body, and one or two quality pro lenses. Putting most of your money into the camera body is pointless. It's the lenses that make the difference in photos. Now, if I was going to shoot real estate, I would buy a 10 to 18 millimeter zoom if I had a crop sensor body, or a 16 to 35 millimeter zoom on a full frame body. For sports, I would definitely buy a 70 to 200 zoom and maybe look at a 100 to 400. It all depends on the sport that you're shooting. You need to fill the frame with the subject. For portraits and headshots, you could use a 70 to 200 zoom or an 85 millimeter prime lens. Now, the lens I'm craving at the moment is a Canon 85 1.2. The quality is amazing and the shallow depth of field at 1.2 makes me want it even more. It's just incredible. Okay, so I'm meant to be talking about keeping the cost down, and the 85 1.2 is $2,800. So it's blowing the budget a bit. So buying used equipment, I would go with the semi-pro body like the Canon 6D Mark II, which is a full frame body. I would buy a Canon EF 85 1.4 lens. That would be all I would need to start shooting portraits. I'd be totally happy with that. One lens, one body, and I'd be good to go. I would need a couple of lights, although I could get away with one. And to keep the cost down, I would get two cheap Neewa or Godox flashes. I would need two shoot-through umbrellas or softboxes and a couple of light stands. That would be it. I would be good with that. The more you reduce your equipment costs, the quicker you're going to make a profit. And that's what you're doing this for, to make a profit. Don't waste money on unnecessary equipment. Okay, next is a website. This is your business hub, and all your marketing is aimed at sending people to your website. So I would have a strong portfolio that will make visitors want to book me. I would also need a mailing list and a sign-up form on the website. This would be one of the first things I would do. It is so important to get bookings. Website visitors are telling you that they're interested in what you're offering by signing up for your mailing list. All you need to do is send them special offers on a regular basis, and the bookings are going to start piling in. Okay, next. Get known and be a people person. A big part of being a business owner is putting yourself out there. Social media is the easiest way to do that. Now you need to consider your ideal customer's age range. You'll find that under 25s tend to go on TikTok, 20 to 40 year olds are on Instagram, 35 and over are on Facebook, and business people are generally on LinkedIn. Those are only rough guides, but I don't think you're going to find many people over 40 on TikTok. Just realize that it's important to find where your audience is hanging out. If you can find where they're hanging out, you can sell to them and let people know who you are, what you do, and how they can go about getting hold of you. And don't forget that good old-fashioned direct contact with potential customers is still a great way to get bookings. Send brochures to local businesses or drop them off in person. Try to be a people person and help people out. The happier customers are, the more they'll promote you online to their family and friends. Use a blog or your Facebook account to give each customer a mention after the session. Make them feel important. You'll want your name to be known for the good that you do, not the bad. Okay, this last one is something I wouldn't have even considered 10 years ago, and it is video. I wouldn't use video for portraits, but if I was shooting weddings or real estate, I would definitely do video. For real estate, I would do walkthrough videos and use a drone to shoot the exteriors. For weddings, check out Taylor Jackson on YouTube. He's a Canadian photographer, and he switches from stills to video, and he records like 20, 30-second videos before returning to stills, and he does it all with the one camera. I'll put a link in the show notes and over at photographysidehustle.com/149. Yeah, check Taylor out. He does some really nice work, and the way he switches from video to stills is excellent. If you want to use a drone at a wedding, you'll probably need an assistant, because if you're shooting, you want someone controlling the drone. But imagine being able to have drone footage of the bride and groom leaving the church as a married couple, or for outdoor weddings, being able to have drone footage of the whole ceremony, people turning up, people eating, whatever. You could do everything with a drone from above. It would look really good. So you need to consider video and drone footage if you want to stand out from your competition. It'd work out great. Okay, let's do a recap. So if I were to start out again today, I would definitely shoot portraits, and I'd eventually get the 85 1.2. Okay, just getting that out of the way. I'd be working on my shooting and editing techniques so that my style is repeatable and consistent. I would take courses and workshops to get the skills that I needed. I would initially keep my starting cost down by buying good quality used equipment, and remember that lenses are your most important piece of equipment. My website would have my portfolio on it and a mailing list form. And I would promote myself on social media platforms where my customers are hanging out. If I was considering weddings, I would definitely offer video. Okay, so that is what I would do if I was starting out. If you need any help with anything, if you've got any questions about what I've just gone through, you can find me in the Facebook group and Facebook Messenger. You can find the transcript for the episode in the show notes and over at photographysidehustle.com/149. And while you're there, you can support the show and buy me a coffee. And I just want to put a shout out to all the people this week and the weeks before that have bought me coffees. It is so appreciated. Thank you very much. Okay, I'll be back next week with a softbox overflowing with waffle. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.